We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight by our Sunday evening Bible study, Vangrove Baptist Church. Hope and pray you join to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we lift your word, we lift one another. We lift the hearts that are broken, the pain of our bodies, and Father, the pain and agony of so many spirits. We ask, dear Lord God, as you touch each spirit, as you touch each individual, that, Father, you will give us your wisdom of what it means for us to unite together in your body of believers, your church. We ask the blessing now as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want us to look at the five benefits of a church family. Now, I could have gotten into a whole bunch of the benefits. I've done five here that I think that we can relate to. And so often we need to be reminded. Now, you'll read the scripture and say, yeah, I've read that before. But I'm reminded of it now that I've read it. I'm reminded of it again, of direct new thought. Every time that you will read the Word of God, you will find that He will lead you into a new thought pattern on it. Now, how does that come about? As you and I grow, as we age, as we hopefully get wiser, then we understand or we're looking at life in a different view than we did growing up. We are not as easily swayed by the workings of the world. We know there is a foundation out there and there is a road out there for us as Christians, and that foundation does not change. So therefore, if there's any changing going on, it is us. So God wants to place in our heart the ability of the growth change. Meaning, I knew Jesus is the Son of God. I've never had any doubt that Jesus is God. It doesn't enter my mind. But now, as I read it, as I read the same scriptures over and over, I see it at a different depth and a different view than I did. Have you noticed how you change from, let's see, your childhood, focusing on our children are smiling and laughing and giggling, and pretty soon they start growing up and getting into teenage years and getting into their own personal friendships, and we see them sort of change. We're wanting to hold them. No, you're still safer behind our door, but we realize they're going to be going out into that world. How do we equip them? We equip them with the Word of God, and that Word of God must be steady, but in the parents. Kids are not steady, folks. Young folk have a hard time. They're persuaded, they're drugged to and fro, and Christians, once founded on that solid rock, we need to understand that there are so many different personalities out there. We know that. So how am I going to learn about what went on in your life if we don't unite together as fellow believers? It's called a church. And as God puts us together, and I'll get to that in a moment, but it is God who puts the local fellowship together. When you as an individual decide you're going to grow your fellowship by, look, here's who we need in this particular church body. When you get into that stuff, you stepped over a line. God will mold together His fellowship. He will mold together, He will send His personalities for the personality of that particular church body. Do y'all understand that? Do you believe that? That God does the growing on it. So if we start messing with God doing the growing, we will attempt to pull people that we want or we like or we do this. Well, as we look at what God has done in his church as we go through these five benefits, I think you will find that everything he does for that individual Christian in an individual way. Five benefits. Number one, the church helps us center our life around God. It helps us as an individual. I want you to center your life around God. Well, you know, my whole life is centered around my family. My whole life is centered around my Sunday school class. My whole life is centered around my church. No, no. You need your whole life centered around God. And as we center around God, it is God's church, God's family, that he makes us the center of. See, we're the center attraction for God. He created us to love us, and therefore, he says, you're my center attraction. To the point that I'm going to send my son to die just for you. So, therefore, I'm looking for you. I'm watching after you. Now, when we learn that, and hopefully we do as Christians, then we will know how important it is for us to love each other as Christ has loved us. But let's go with this. The church helps us center our life around God. Acts 2, verse 46, first part. They worship together regularly at the temple courts. Now, that was a regular worship. You do realize that when they would come together in their worship time, daily opportunity, it didn't matter. Now, we do know that every time we see them, they had united together, on the first day of the week, on that Sunday. That's fine. But they didn't stop there, folks. Every time they got together, they worshiped. Every time that two or three were gathered in his name, that two or three were worshiping as the church. Can two people be the church? Sure. Sure. God said, well, two or three are gathered together. You quoted that this morning. You don't think I pay attention, do you? You said that this morning. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Sure. But God says, I need my body in your body. So therefore, our strength will come, as he says, in Numbers. But listen to this. They worship together regularly at the temple courts. Psalm 68, second part of verse 4. We celebrate as we worship you. Father, we celebrate as we worship you, meaning that as we worship, that's a celebration. See, to worship God for all the heavenly angels, all that exists, when we worship, they understand that we are doing this out of our love for who God is. We're worshiping in his name. We're worshiping him. We celebrate as we worship you. What's not to celebrate? When I'm a Christian, I know God. I know his son, Jesus Christ, died for me on that cross. He paid it all, and I worship. That's celebration time for me. Folks, through all the mistakes, the foolishness, and everything else, we have something in common that no one outside the church has. God has expressed his love to us to a point that we can celebrate because he loves us. Now, if I'm celebrating through God's love, I'm not going to be ashamed to use his son's name, am I? If I'm celebrating, then is not the world out there going to look and those crazy Christians? Look at that kidder guy. Every time he gets in that pulpit, then he hoops and hollers. And you would think he was going to preach and sing. They don't realize that that is the worship, preaching and singing. It's all the same. It is to celebrate the name of God who freed us. What's not to celebrate? Hell doesn't have a shot with us. I mean, how can I lose when I have God as my Father and know the story of what Jesus did for me. You can't lose. So I think it's hooping and hollering, celebrating time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Now, this brings it to the focus. Now, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5, 14. I've used the message on this one. So we can bring it to the focus center. Christ's love, now listen, has the first and last word in everything we do. Christ's love has the first and last word in everything we do. So Jesus says, okay, I want you to know, Larry, you're starting out, I love you. Okay, Larry, when I find myself in the ditch of life right at the end, you know, wondering what in the world happened, the last word from our Lord is, I love you. His love is the first and the last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. What's the focus center? Christ's love. He's got the first word and he's got the last word. Well, that sort of sounds all the way back in the Old Testament. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The first, he's the last. The first and the last, but there's never an end. Mm-hmm. There's never an end to God's word. First and last, always continuing. The second part is the church helps us connect with other believers. Now, there's no one that likes the idea of going to a place to worship, and all the time you're in that place, you have a feeling that everybody's looking at you, judging you, because you don't look the same, you may not dress the same, you may, you know, something may be different about you. It helps us connect with other believers. True believers in Christ do not care what you look like on the outside. We care, or should care, about one another based on the spirit of that individual. Okay, I love because Christ loved me. So when Christ is in another individual, does that not then not only drive our love for them? Is that not only the desire then that we would have to love our fellow man? Because in that individual Christian, there is Christ. In me, there is Christ. I mean, what's not to love? We could even love ourselves, couldn't we, Larry? Yep. Yeah, he does. And we do. Yes, absolutely. Because we have the love of Christ within us. Let's look. Romans 12, second part of verse 5. Christ makes us one body. And individuals. Only Jesus can do that, people. One body, and yet we're individuals who are connected to each other. Now, again, you hear me say all the time that we might as well start getting along. We're going to be in eternity together forever and ever and ever. And the Lord is saying, here's the picture of your connection. You're going to be connected through the blood of my son, through eternity. So we start that connection right here. Remember what Doug's focusing on this morning? That the world side of my eternal life. You know, I'm eternally saved and going to heaven. You know, eternity is there, but I still got to finish this stage of it, of my eternal life. The world side. We're connected together, one body, made up of individuals. We know that. You know, sometimes I say that, you know, we know that, but a lot of times I know things. I'm just not smart enough to go through with what I know. Did your mind, brain ever start trying to overshadow your spirit or start telling you, oh no, you can find a better way? Well, as we get older, our brains don't work that way. Anyway, we're just thankful it's working. To say, good morning, Lord. Now, Romans 12, verse 5. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. And does that not tell us something? I am a Christ's body of chosen people. He chose us. Christ chose us. He could have chose for anybody else to be born. He chose for you and me to be born. He made the choice that we would exist. So I am then not to respect him. I am to go out and saying how brilliant all humanity is because we figured all of this out on our own. We are his chosen people. And when you're chosen by the Creator, by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we ought to walk around with the pride of Christ on us. Each of us find our meaning and function as a part of his body. Why do people say then, well, you know, I just don't know, I don't even know what I'm meant to do. He says, go to my church body. You will see a need there. When he put his church together, he said different individuals with different gifts being formed together to form one body. Because one personality cannot do that. It takes a whole bunch of different workings of the body to make the body work. We know what it's like, folks. Again, the older I get, the more that parts don't work. I realize how important it was. But God says, in that importance, I want you to know that you will find meaning of whatever gift you have, but you got to get to my body to see it. Okay. But as a chopped, message again, Randy, but as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to too much. That's a fact. Chop your toe off and you will see that toe just don't amount to much after it's chopped off. And that foot is wobbling. Yeah, you messed up the whole body. 1 John 4:21. The person who loves God must also love other believers. Now, I find this interesting because there again, listen, what is John the Beloved saying here? He says, the person who loves God must also love other believers. Now, it seems as though John is stipulating that our requirement is to love other believers. He is. My requirement is to love. But the stipulation is you have to love other believers. If I do not love other believers, I'm not going to love a non-believer enough to tell him about Jesus. You agree with that? Yeah. I mean, I have to start at home. I have to start in my own heart, in my own spirit. And he tells us, pay attention to other believers. And when you do that, more will become believers. Number three, the church helps us grow to spiritual maturity. Now, as I use that term, I want you to know you're not there yet. You ain't there yet. Spiritual maturity. From your pastor's point of view, spiritual maturity is a continuing process that God works in us even throughout eternity with him. We do not stop learning or maturing because we've left this body. This, again, is just the beginning stage for us. We're not even freshmen yet. We haven't even made it to kindergarten, folks. So the Lord says, I want to help you grow to spiritual maturity. Now, Ephesians 4:16, Christ's body is fitted together perfectly. All of us have the perfect body. Fitted together perfectly. I don't know. That's Ephesians 4:16, right down there. Right now. Yeah. If you want to have a perfect body, it's Christ's body fitted together perfectly. Yes.
I thought he meant.
I know what you all thought. That's why I got to laughing as soon as I said it. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Yeah, full of love. Oh, perfect mind, brains, and all, right, Larry? Absolutely. Okay, number four. The church helps us contribute something back. Something back. How do I contribute back? By being around other people and contributing to the welfare of others. That's not a burden, folks. That's a blessing. When God chose to use you, when He chose us to take His message, folks, think of such honor that He has bestowed upon us because of His Son. He said, you believe my Son, then here's you a crown. Whew. And He says, now I want you to take all that you have, all that you know, and I want you to bless others with it. He didn't say go out and give. Listen, there's some folk you give things to, and I guarantee you it'll be wasted before the day is gone. It goes a lot further than all of that. It goes to, what can I give people that will last? The love of Christ. I can let them know that I love them and you love them no matter what the situation. And we see that working on our kids when we express that to our kids. I had to smile this morning. I saw so many babies in the arms of moms, and I thought I knew all their names, the babies' names. And then I realized, wait a minute, don't be calling that one Baby Grayson when I didn't see Baby Grayson here. Was that, you got, yeah, so, but it's, to me, it's a beautiful picture. Young parents bringing their infants and their children to God's house. I thought that was going to leave in this generation. And it has in a lot of cases. Oh, no, I'll just let them believe what they want to believe. They'll get it all straightened out. Well, then, why don't you give them the opportunity to experience church? You'll take them to the ball games. You'll take them to the concerts. But you won't take them to church because you want them to figure it out on their own. All right. Ephesians 2:10. God has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago He planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Now, that term there, and long ago, that's many times translated also in the ancient times. You know, here you are reading back into the prophets, and the prophets are telling you about, well, in the ancient times. And I'm thinking, I thought you prophets were ancient time. You know, I thought the first century church pretty ancient to me, a couple of thousand years ago. So as time continues, God says, and He made each individual human being for a purpose. that we should spend our lives helping others. It always comes back to helping others. 1 Corinthians 3, the first part of verse 9. We work together as partners who belong to God. The head of the church is Christ, not a preacher or pastor. The head of the body is Christ. And Christ says, I'm going to set individuals in this congregation. And each one, each individual, I'm giving a special gift to use that special gift to grow my body. And without each special gift, my body will not grow properly, the human body. So therefore, accept one another for the gift that is brought. Because we belong to God. We do not own God's church. God's church is the spiritual part of who we are on the inside. You are His temple. And these buildings that we have with the steeples and all, they're to keep the temple of God warm in the winter and too cool sometimes in the summer. Well, unless it's Phyllis. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better off than one, because together they can work more effectively. They can if they work with one focus in mind, to love one another, and that it's all about who Jesus is, not about who we are. It's all about the message. 2 Timothy 4, second part of verse 5, complete the ministry God has given you. Well, wait a minute. That means then I can't tell the preacher what he needs to preach. I remember during the revival days when I got, now, a preacher, you want to know how I would have preached that message? No, frankly, I don't want to know how you'd preach it. But I don't have to say that, because already telling me what I should have done to begin with. And I've always been smiled with it. But complete the ministry God has given you. Whatever that is. What you, God says, should do. Hebrews 6:10. God will not forget how hard you have worked for Him. And how you've shown your love to Him. How? By caring for other Christians. Remember, how do I give to God? Love, care for other Christians. Care for others. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. Or, you know, sometimes I just think I'm not getting anywhere. Nobody's listening. And this is a parent saying this. Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying any attention. They're sleeping through the messages. No, they're not sleeping. They're just not paying any attention to you. God, yeah, I remember that from old. Ain't all Gwendoline, I'm just resting my eyes. I'm not really asleep. Heard every word He said. Amen, preacher. Number five, the church helps us communicate God's message. Okay. When we come together and worship together, we will learn from each other. What we learn that time from each other, we will find that God will give us a personality to share that to later on. It's whether it's a bit of scripture or a story that connects to somebody you know and what's going on in their life. That's why we come together. We come together in God's house to worship Him, and when we worship, He sends us out into the world with just a piece of each other in that congregation. I remember what Gene said. I remember what Estelle said. And you get those beautiful memories of people, faces. I was saying, and I do this ever so often anymore, it seems like I'm just driving down the road and said, Lord, I really miss my sister. I really miss that laugh. I really miss who she was to me. I just miss that. And sometimes you don't realize how much you're going to miss until they're gone. Number five, the church helps us communicate God's message. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. And then God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. He gave us this message of peace, so that we have been sent to speak for Christ. Isn't it amazing? The message Christ gives us is of peace and love for someone to have within their own body, within their own being, yet they reject it. The greatest message of peace is rejected by those who need it the most. I don't want anything to do with this church stuff. I always tell people, you know, oh, the religion thing. I don't either. That's not the focus. The focus happens to be who Christ is and that personal relationship. When you have that personal relationship, the peace is automatic. As long as you maintain that relationship. You can't ignore what Jesus tells us to do and expect to have peace. It's not that he's kicked us out. It's that he's yanking us to come back in before we find ourselves sinking and we yell out, Lord, save me, like Peter did. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are, individual you, you are God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the what? Of the night and day difference he made for you. That happens to be your witness. When you share your testimony can only be, and your testimony is not all the bad you did and all of this. No, your testimony is what Jesus has done for you. Not what you've seen do in others' lives, but you, that personal witness. Philippians 1:27. Live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ, standing strong with one purpose as you work together as one for the faith of the good news. That's the church. That's the church. Working together as one for the faith of the good news. The faith, the belief. When we share Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts them, remember? But then when they believe, that conversion experience, they are a part of working together with all of us. That's what we do. I've never seen anywhere in Scripture where I'm not told to work. I'm to work while the day is still day, because the night cometh when no man can work. The psalmist was, is there the grave, when you're in the grave, you can do nothing. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but it was, people say, see, that means you're going to be sleeping in the grave. And I think, gosh, come on, people. It means you're given this one opportunity in our existence as human beings, one opportunity in this world. When my body is rotting in a grave, it can't do anything anymore. So therefore, take the body with Jesus' spirit. For those of you who don't have a church home and you're listening in the Van Grove area, you come and see us in Van Grove Baptist Church, 408 West Main Street in Van Grove. God bless you next week.